It's Morning Edition on 90.1 WABE. Great to have you with us. I'm Dennis O'Hare. Time for another political breakfast, but this morning it is a bit of a political snack or buffet. Brian Robinson is here. Theron Johnson is otherwise engaged. Brian is a former Deputy Chief of Staff and Communications Director to Georgia Governor Nathan Deal. Brian, good to have you.
Good to have you. And Theron, we miss you. He is serving the people at jury duty today.
Well, let's see if we can do a bit of a step back from the partisan hat and do the cold political analysis here. The president again raised the issue of voter fraud. And again, here at WABE, we called Secretary of State Brian Kemp's office and said, was there widespread voter fraud that you know of? And the answer was no.
I am intrigued on several levels. One, I don't know why you would question the legitimacy of an election that you won and that Republicans across the country won. We maintained our congressional majorities. We got a record number of Republican governors. But even before the election, Republicans were dominant in state legislatures and in governorships. So these elections were being run by Republicans. So it is a head scratcher to figure out, you know, why he's going after the legitimacy of an election that he won, particularly when there's no evidence being put forward that there was any fraud. I think we should all move on, celebrate the legitimacy of the elections.
But the president is not moving on. He's calling for an investigation. So does this put pressure, particularly on Republican secretaries of state, to come up with something that justifies what he's saying?
Well, the charge goes right at the heart of their responsibilities. Here in Georgia, Brian Kemp, the Secretary of State, is responsible for a bevy of issues that you never think of, from business licenses to vocational licenses to our election system. But the election system is what he's most known for overseeing. And it would certainly be an assault on his work and on his integrity to say that there was voter fraud here in Georgia when he is saying explicitly that there was not. And I believe Brian Kemp. I know that we have safeguards in place here in Georgia and that every person who went and voted on Election Day was an American citizen who was legally qualified to vote in Georgia.
And as Secretary Kemp acknowledged and as just about everybody who studies this acknowledged, there are isolated instances of voter fraud everywhere. Yes, that happens, but nothing on the scale that the president is talking about.
I mean, 3 to 5 million is a lot of people, considering that the margin in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania combined for Trump was 110,000, maybe up to 130,000 votes. 3 to 5 million is an eye-popping number. And, you know, the anecdotes put forward thus far don't point in any way to fraud on that scale. And let me say, I said this before the election. Theron said this before the election. We have got to preserve the integrity of our democracy as Americans, regardless of our partisan affiliation. I said before the election, if Hillary Clinton is elected, that I, as a Republican, will support her and want her to succeed because I want my country to succeed. I think that's kind of how we have to approach it when John Lewis questions the legitimacy of the election, too. Sure, he's an American hero, but he said something that's bad for the country, and he should not have said that the president is not legitimate. So we all have a stake and maintaining faith in our system because it cannot work. And we have too much to lose. This is the greatest place in the world to live. We have the greatest democracy. Let's protect it.
Let's shift quickly to the topic du jour under the Gold Dome right now, which is casino gambling, a bill which basically says casinos would be legal. There has to be a constitutional amendment for that. It also divvies up what the state would take in from its tax on casinos, primarily to the Hope Scholarship, but also for needs-based scholarships for kids who could not otherwise afford to go to college. If the numbers are at the level they want, this may bring in the Democrats to get that two-thirds majority you need for a constitutional amendment.
You know, Governor Deal has long been opposed to expanding gambling in Georgia and
to
bringing casinos
here. He has said so
on many occasions, and I think that that is reflective of where he is personally. But here in the final 2 years of his administration, he has engaged this year and set forth what he would want to see if this does move forward. Anticipating that we would discuss this morning, I reached out to my former colleagues in the governor's office this week to say, what's going on? Why now are you getting involved? And they said, this is not our issue. We're not pushing it. We're not advocating it. But we're saying, if this happens, I want to see a higher tax percentage that comes into the state, and we want there to be a funding stream for the REACH scholarship, which was created by Governor Deal. It reaches out to high-achieving middle schoolers who are from economically deprived backgrounds, who come from non-college-educated families, to usher them through high school with tutors and then pays for their tuition in college. It is a terrific program, but it doesn't have the funding stream that it needs to really make a difference in this state. This is a way to get money into those hands of these high-achieving students, the ones who are doing the right things but don't have the means to go to college.
Now, so, is that the same as needs-based scholarships, the kind of thing that the Democrats are saying, we have to have a certain amount of funding in order for us to vote for it?
REACH is a needs-based scholarship. It is. And, of course, HOPE is a merit-based scholarship. Republicans fought to keep HOPE merit-based when we reformed it in 2011 when it was on the verge of going bankrupt. The Democrats wanted it to be needs-based or more needs-based.
But now more kids are falling through the cracks and HOPE covers less of the costs.
That's absolutely right. Republicans have never been against needs-based, but there's only so much money to divvy up, and Republicans wanted to maintain the merit-based if they had to choose between the two, because we want to keep our best and brightest here in the state. That's how we made Georgia Tech and UGA amongst the premier public colleges, and then saw a rising of the boats throughout the rest of the university system in this state over the last 25 years. So we believe in an opportunity society and making sure that hardworking kids get a chance to go to college. We're for that.
One quick final thought on another subject. Republicans, though, are watching the struggles of rural hospitals.
Yeah.
When I spoke with House Speaker David Ralston this week, he said, look, we're still not going to expand Medicaid. The argument from Democrats, including Minority Leader Stacey Abrams, is, look, you may not like Medicaid expansion, but until Obamacare is repealed, it's the one source of money to draw down federal dollars to help the struggling rural hospitals. So the question comes up, especially if they know there's going to be a repeal anyway, why would Republicans not take advantage of this now?
Because,
and can we wait?
We can't wait 2 years. We can't wait 1 year to see a difference. Now, the difference doesn't have to be what we had under Obamacare. It could be something different. You know, I had a chance to discuss this with Congressman Tom Price, who was soon to be the HHS secretary, who would approve any waiver plan for Medicaid that Georgia might put forward. He understands that the rural health care network and our safety net hospitals, such as Grady here in Atlanta, don't have 2 years of the current system, because all of these other states are getting the new money from Obamacare and Georgia's not.
In other words, they don't have 2 years to wait for a replacement either.
No, but I don't think anybody's planning on it taking 2 years. And I think where Speaker Ralston is coming from is the president and the Congress, Speaker Ryan, Leader McConnell, have promised to move fast on this. They know time is of the essence. They know that in addition to the border wall, this is one of the most pressing issues for the people who put them in power, that we get this fixed.
But it's a lot easier to approve funding for a border wall than to figure out the complex, almost Jenga game that replacing Obamacare would be.
Absolutely. And I don't envy Congressman Price at all being at the heart of figuring out how that plan is going to look, because it's going to be extraordinarily difficult to please all the constituencies involved and the voter groups who have expressed concerns about Obamacare, and the people who are Republicans but maybe support Obamacare and don't want to see it backtracked too much. I think what Speaker Ralston is speaking to is, we need to be ready for a repeal and replace, and let's wait and see what it is. But I do hope that everyone understands we've got to move fast, because we're going to lose multiple rural hospitals if we have to wait a year or two. So we're all counting on the president and the Congress to come up with a fix that's going to move us forward.
Brian Robinson is former Deputy Chief of Staff and Communications Director to Republican Governor Nathan Deal. Theron Johnson, our colleague on the Political Breakfast, had something come up at the last minute. So, Brian, thanks so much for a little political snack this morning. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Dennis. Theron, we miss you.